here is open to anyone who believes, and we would encourage you to take it and hold on to it because
by tradition we have commercials.
So ushers, if you would come forward.
I only get to talk to you now and then, so I have to dump everything at one time. So I do have some commercials. I want you to think about the breakfast next Saturday. And I don't want you to think of it simply as a breakfast or simply as a time to show up, Pastor Dave. I want you to think about it as an evangelistic opportunity. People come to church most often when they know people in the church that they're comfortable with. Here is an opportunity to invite a person to breakfast, to get to know casually, without it being a major issue, people from the church, at that, so that the Holy Spirit can demonstrate to them that they belong here. And when they come in the door, they won't be coming in the door to a group of strangers, but people that they've met. And they've met in a comfortable setting at Applebee's. So seriously, I'd like you to think about that. More than just a breakfast, more than just a fundraiser, but at a time that you can invite friends to a circumstance that otherwise they might not meet the church people. So take them up on that opportunity. Number two, I want you to be thinking about the 18th of August. I thought The Men Ought to See Courageous, the movie, but I had not myself seen it. So Father's Day, my son invited me to go with him to his men's group there at the Whittier Church, and they showed Courageous. When I walked out of there, I said, it can't be I would like. They must see this movie. This is the most powerful movie with the most important message to our society that I can think of. And it is speaking particularly to men. Guys, we no longer know who we are. Well, I do. But many men don't know who they are in the family. They don't know what their function is. What is it that I'm to do? Who am I to be? There was a time when that was laid out clearly. Today, it's up in the air. Courageous brings you back down to earth and helps you see very clearly who you are and what your task is. So I want you to come to that movie for that purpose, guys. I want you to bring your young men in particular to that movie and to get started off right. But ladies, you'll get the message if you come. It's not a movie that speaks specifically to women. But the fact of the matter is, the message is as powerful for you as for the men. So I want, if you have something else planned that evening, I am sorry, cancel it. If you are on vacation, come back. Well, maybe not that much. But the point is, it is really important. This is not a minor, let's have fun and have a family night and a movie night. This is an important time. And we also get to eat as well, which is always fun. I do that well. Lastly, this morning, as I was preparing for my Sunday school lesson, I realized that several of my regular people in my Sunday school class would be gone. Nora, Dennis, and Joanne. And so I was looking at my Sunday school class and figuring, well, we'll have six, seven of us, maybe. We had 13 this morning. Now, that demonstrates something to me and that I want to share with you. The month of September is particularly an emphasis on Sunday school, not church, Sunday school. For those of you that don't know, you have to get up an hour earlier. I trust your dedication to Christ and the church is enough to get up an hour earlier. And come during that month of September and share with us in Sunday school. And I think you'll find that a great benefit. I am particularly concerned about younger families because our children's department is way anemic in Sunday school. We do great in the morning service time, in the children's church time, but our Sunday school is just, I've never been anywhere where the Sunday school looked like that. We're not going to have that anymore. So if you are younger, you have children. If you know people that are younger that have children, you have them here for Sunday school. Pastor Dave and I will be working together for providing for the adults. So there will be some great stuff for you for adults. But also, it's really important that these children get started off right. And as great as our children's church is, we need more. As wonderful as Awana is, and it is an absolutely great program, we need more. So I expect to see you setting aside the month of September to be here for Sunday school at 9:15. Those are the commercials for the day. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Well, today we're going to ask the question, why do we gather? If you're a person that comes to church casually, or if you're a person, if you know people that have basically never come to church and they look at these strange people that come together every Sunday, why do they do that? Well, if we were looking back 100 years ago, in most cities and towns, nearly everybody went to church. There were towns where things were absolutely deserted in the town except at the churches. And we can ask the question, what was different about then and now? Well, one of the differences is we didn't have television, we didn't have radio, we didn't have a lot of communication technology. The phone was a novel item at the time. And there just weren't a lot of things to do in town, and so the only show in town on the weekend was church. And so people naturally gathered at church to see their friends, to be able to fellowship with one another, to hear God's word, and often the preacher would preach an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. John Knox, who is the foundational leader of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, regularly preached 3 hours to absolutely standing-only crowds. John Wesley would go out into fields, and there would be thousands of people there that he was speaking to without the benefit of a microphone, and he would preach 3, sometimes 4 hours. I'm not planning on preaching that long this morning, by the way. My father came from a generation where if he didn't preach an hour, he didn't feel like he'd preached. I'm not doing that either. But, so there was a time at which, what did you do? Even if you weren't particularly a dedicated Christian, what did you do? Well, you went to church. What was there to do? Well, today we have so many things to do. We've got radio and we've got television. We've got sports that occur. We've got technology. We can stay in communication with everybody. Some of us, I think, went through withdrawals at Hume because there is no cell service and there was no internet. And we're sitting there, and I'm sure Pastor Dave, the first day, shook the entire day. Without that stuff. But today there's so many things, so many different things we can do, so many places we can go, so many places we can tap into, that there is a great competition for our time. And for some of our people, and maybe some of you here from time to time, say, well, Sunday's the only day I can sleep in. And so the question comes, why do we come in the first place? Why are you here? Why do many of you that are in this room every Sunday get up and come to church? You don't even think about it. Nobody asks you, are you going to church? In my household, nobody asks whether we're going to church or not. Beverly never says, are you into church today? When my children were teenagers, they never asked, are we going to church today? The answer was, of course. Why would you ask that question? So why? Why do we do this? There's so many things that we could do. Why are we coming here? And so let's take a look for a minute at the why. Now this morning, we're not going to have scripture on the screen, but if you have the Bible app application, you can follow the scripture along. Otherwise, I would like to encourage you to write the scriptures down and go home and look them up. Here's one thing I want you to know. I'm going to tell you the truth. What I believe is the truth. I don't want you to accept it without thought. I want you to find out whether or not I'm telling you the truth. Because I, as much as I tell you the truth, it is possible, as I told my Sunday school lesson, I don't do it, but it's possible I might tell you something wrong. And I want you to check it out. Find out for yourself whether it's true. So I'd like you to jot down the scripture and look later to see if what I'm telling you is true. And it is, it will be, but I want you to know that for yourself. The first reason why we meet every Sunday is because the Bible tells us to meet together as believers and to encourage each other. We are to meet regularly. Hebrews 10:25, many of you know by heart, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The scripture says, get together. Be together as community. The body, the Bible instructs us in relation to live in relationship with other believers. If we want to be part of God, Christ's body, we'll recognize our need to fit into a body of believers. That we need to find a body of believers that God is calling us to and fit in. And let me say this. If for some reason you choose to go to another church, don't ask whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you like it or not. The question you need to ask is, can I serve here? Is this a place where I can serve? As Christians, God is not in the business of making us happy with the church. Rather, he's in the business of putting us in a place of service. So the question when we go to visit a church, I trust you're not going to do this, by the way, but the question we should be asking when we go to visit a church is not whether I like it. The question should be, can I serve here? Is this a place where I can exercise my gifts? That's the question. The church is the place where we come together to encourage one another as members of the body of Christ. We encourage one another. Together, we fulfill an important purpose on earth. We are the body of Christ. He put us together that way. And we function as his body and his witness on this earth. So we come together because God said, Christ said, come together. And so we come together for that purpose, to encourage each other, to lift up each other. When one of us is down and another one of us is up, the up person reaches their hand to us and helps pull us back up. As members of the body of Christ, we also belong to each other. I belong to you. You belong to me. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment." Now notice here, he's not telling you not to think anything of yourself. What he's saying is, step back and with the help of the Holy Spirit, look at who you actually are and get an honest appraisal of who you are. Don't run yourself down, but also don't think you're better than you really are, in fact. "But rather, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Each member belongs to all the others. Let me say that again. Each member belongs to all the others. "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us, to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do so cheerfully." It is actually for our own good that God calls us together to fellowship with other believers. We need each other to grow in the faith, to learn to serve, to learn to love, to learn, and here is a place where we can practice forgiveness. We can practice loving. We can practice serving. Even though we are individuals, we still belong to each other. There is nothing that we do that wrong that is victimless. But because I belong to you, if I do something wrong, I am injuring you as well as me. And I really need to think about that, because we belong to each other. God created us to be a community. He actually created human beings to need to be part of a community. It's one of the reasons for family. We have family so that we can be part of a community. We raise our children as part of a community. I'm encouraging people to raise their children as part of a complete community. Husband, wife, father, mother, other kids, and yes, the church. The church has always been one of our major supports as we raised our children. They have always been one of those items where our kids could go into this church area, and there were many people in that church area that if they couldn't talk to us, they could talk to them. And we trusted them. And they gave them good direction. And they were secure in that place. I'm always interested in watching Emma. Emma is absolutely comfortable here, as you could tell. That's good. That's what we want our children to be. We want our children to feel secure in this place with people that love them even more so, that love them as their parents love them. So that wherever they go within the church, there are people there that will love them, also keep them from hurting themselves as well, who will sometimes say gently, "No, you need to stop that." But we are meant to live in community. We are built to live in community here. And so we need to be there. We need to be there in that community. The major problem our nation faces is the breakdown of the community, both the community that is the family and the community within which people live. And if we're not careful, the community that is the church. This is a place where people should be able to come and find community. Even if the neighborhood is falling apart, even if their family is struggling, they should be able to come here and find community. A community of people that care, a community of people that pray. Go to a meeting of any organization and notice that though they may meet briefly to talk to various people, they end up in their group. They end up in their group. There is a group that where we are comfortable. God calls us to be comfortable with the saints of God in the church. We'd better get comfortable because we're going to spend eternity with them. And so I'm going to practice that here, spending eternity. God created only two institutions. Every other institution has been created by man to serve a particular purpose or to mess up a particular purpose, depending on how you look at the particular institution. But there's two institutions that God created. The first one was the family. The first institution he created was the family. But the second institution he created, we now know as the church. God's church was created by him. We need to be part of that institution. We need to be part of that God-created extended family. So when a Christian stops attending church, when we have Christians that say, "Well, I am not going to go to church, but I just go out and I worship in nature." Or, "I worship at home and on the television." Or whatever else strange thing, to me strange things, that people tell me about why they don't come to church though they are Christians. So when a Christian decides to stop attending the local body, what's at stake? This is what I believe. First of all, what's at stake is the unity of the body of Christ. The unity of the body of Christ. that we read the scripture and say to ourselves, of course the unity of the body of Christ is important. Of course I should be concerned about the unity of the body of Christ. The fact of the matter is, my body cannot afford to lose any of its parts. Through a really stupid decision, I'd lost a little piece of it at one point, and that's always bothered me, because I don't function as well without that. It's just a little tiny piece, and I don't function as well without that piece. Some of you who are sitting here, through no fault of your own, have had to take pieces of your body, and the doctors have had to take it away. And so some of you are on special diets because of what they had to take away. Others of you are on special exercise programs because they've taken what they've taken away. Others of you have to monitor parts of your body every day because what's supposed to be doing that inside your body is not working right. The church can survive without everybody. But we will not be healthy until we have this full spectrum of people in the church. We will not be healthy until people see the need and come and be part of the body of Christ. People can survive without coming to church as Christians, maybe. I'm not convinced of that, by the way. But maybe. But they also will not grow as they should grow or develop as they should develop. They'll be sort of like the bonsai trees. You know, the bonsai trees that the Japanese do such a beautiful job of creating and keeping are really full-size trees that they trim and they cut the roots and they do all of that to stunt its growth and to keep it in a certain shape. I think when people decide not to come to church on a regular basis, they are making themselves bonsai Christians. They are cutting, trimming, so that they never grow quite right. The second thing we tend to lose when we're not here all the time is our own spiritual growth. Protection and blessings are at risk when we're disconnected from the body. Christ's body, as Romans said, is made of many parts, and yet it's one unified body. One unified body. Some of you are unfortunate enough to have hair, but you're still part of the body. I feel sorry for you, but you're still part of the body. The point is, all of us have characteristics, all of us have things about us that contribute importantly to the body of Christ, but it also contributes importantly, the body contributes importantly to our own spiritual growth. We need each other. We need the church to be healthy Christians. And we have differing functions and differing talents and differing gifts. Philippians 2:2 says, "Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose." Philippians 2:2. United, one purpose. We all have different gifts. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different educational experiences. We all have different family experiences. But we are one body. And all of those things about us make the church complete. I had the privilege of riding up to the staff retreat and back from the staff retreat with Pastor Rinaldo. Pastor Rinaldo. He is a fascinating man. So many things have gone on in his life. There's so much depth to him when you have that opportunity to just sit down and talk with him and listen and ask questions and all of those things. It is a joy. And that's what and he has helped me to grow. He has helped me to grow. Unity in the body of Christ does not mean total conformity. We do not have to all be alike. In fact, we are not all alike. It is not uniformity. Although maintaining unity in the body is very important, it is also important to value the uniqueness of each person, each part of the body as well. Each individual can function as an important element of the whole of the body. Aspects, unity, individuality, deserve emphasis and appreciation. We should be concerned about the unity of the church, but we also should be concerned about the individual abilities, talents, and experiences of the people of the church. This makes, in fact, for a healthy church. It makes for a healthy body. When we remember that Christ is our common denominator, we are united in him. We may have disparate backgrounds. Some of you in here have extended educations, and some of you in here may have not completed high school. Some of you in here are very comfortable financially, and probably more of you are not quite so comfortable. Some of you in here came from very stable families, and others of you came from chaotic families. And we have all of that, but the common thing that draws us together is Christ and his Spirit. It brings us together, and not only does it bring us together, but it allows us to be individuals that contribute to the health of all. Then we also develop the character of Christ through bearing with one another in the body. I'm always interested in people that say, I don't come to church because they're full of hypocrites. Yep. So, and if you came, we'd just have one more. No. I don't come because of whatever reason. Part of our task as Christians is learning how to bear with one another, to adjust to our strengths and our peculiarities. We all have peculiar things about us. We were talking in Sunday school, I was talking about my father, and I said that he was a man I greatly admired, a man that I would, that when I look at what great privilege I had for the father I had, who showed me how to be a man. But Dad was also funny. He had some really hilarious aspects about him. And one of the things when, I didn't say this in Sunday school, but one of the things that happened when he passed away is on the night in the funeral home, the night before the funeral in the funeral home, the family gathered around the casket and we laughed and laughed and laughed about some of the strange things that Dad had done in his life. Having said that, he was a great man of God who gave me a great foundation. I know that I'm probably the only one here that doesn't have strange characteristics. But all of the rest of you are quite funny. Barely sitting there, oh yeah, right. Anyhow, so we get back to that. We are one body. The other thing is the body gives us a place to exercise our spiritual gifts. God gives us gifts. Some of them are natural. Some of them are supernatural. Some of our natural gifts have been made supernatural by the gifts of the Spirit. It gives us a place to practice those spiritual gifts, to serve each other and to minister each other using those gifts. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Since Dennis isn't here, I get to talk about him. Dennis has been one of the greatest gifts that God has given the church. And the one thing I've learned about him is, if something needs to be done, particularly in the way of fixing or building or whatever, if Dennis can't do it, probably nobody can. He's an amazing man. And he has given his life to Christ and to the church, as well as to Joanne. What an example. Now, you don't get to tell him I told you that. But that's true. I don't usually point out a particular person in the congregation, but since he's not here, I get to point him out. What a great gift to the church. And he has grown as well. He will tell you that. He has grown as well. It is a beneficial experience because of the grace of God and because we are one together. How else will we grow unless we interact with other believers? We learn humility, gentleness, and patience, developing the character of Christ as we relate to each other within the body of Christ. Now, from time to time, as we have to expect, some of us mess up. And we inadvertently hurt other people's feelings or what drop the ball somewhere along the line. That's where we learn to forgive and to encourage within the body of Christ. And so we are to use the gifts that God has given us. If we're not a regular part of the body of Christ, we have nowhere to use those gifts. We need the church. Also in the church, we have protection and blessing. And I'm about to say something that's going to shock you. Our leaders in the body of Christ offer spiritual protection. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 17th verse. This is a verse you never hear. Because we Americans don't like to think this way. Okay? Hebrews 13, 17 says this. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you. Now, we're not asking you to obey without thought. But think about it. Think about it. We gain protection within the body of Christ when our leaders are men of spiritual depth. And when they are men and women of spiritual depth, I'm sorry, ladies, when they are men and women of spiritual depth, we gain protection and blessing by listening to them and acting on what they share with us. It's important. It's important. God has placed us into the body of Christ for our own protection and blessing. Just like every earthly family, it's not always fun to be in this body. We don't always have warm, fuzzy feelings in the body. If you're expecting to come every Sunday and have warm, fuzzy feelings, you're in the wrong place. I actually don't know anywhere where that happens, by the way. There are difficulties. There are unlovely moments as we grow together as a family. But there are also great times of blessing, of encouragement, that we will never experience unless we become a relational and connected part of the body. Those joys, those blessings come as part of the body. But because God made the mistake of having human beings in the church, well, it wasn't a mistake. I wouldn't have done it, but it wasn't a mistake. But he put people in the church. Now, the problem with the church is he put people in the church. As people, we mess up. And so it's not always a warm, fuzzy time. It's not always a time of good feelings. Oh, but the amount of blessing compared with the problems. The amount of joy compared with the problems. I've been a parent. I am now a grandparent. My kids weren't always good. They didn't always do everything I told them to do like they should have. My grandchildren don't always do everything that their parents think they ought to do. And so there are times of tension and there are times of problems. Oh, but the joy is so much more. The joy is so much more. I am so fortunate to have had the children I have. I am so fortunate to have the grandchildren I have. For all of the intergenerational and interpersonal problems that come up, there's just so much more joy. So much more happiness. Friends, I'm glad to live in this body with you. You tolerate me, and I appreciate it. And we live in joy together, sometimes with little irritants. But we still live in joy together. It's great. It's great. Do you need another reason to go to church? Well, we also go to church because Jesus went to church. He gave us, that's one of the things you find about Christ. If you look very carefully at the scripture, he tells you to do something, but he also shows you to do it. And so here it is. We've been told we need to gather together. Jesus went to church as a regular practice. Luke, the fourth chapter, 16th verse. Luke, the fourth chapter, the 16th verse, says he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. As was his custom. As was his custom. It was his regular practice. I don't often read the Message Bible, but I'm going to read one verse from the Message Bible. And it says, as he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. As we always do on Sunday, we go to the meeting place where the church gathers together. If Jesus made meeting together a priority, why is it that we wouldn't? It is a priority. And what about those of you that might be here, a few of you who might be here, who have no particular commitment to Christ? Why would you come? Why would we invite our friends to come? Why would we encourage other people to come? Well, if you are not yet a follower of Christ, there is a place for you where you can explore what Scripture means and what Scripture is, and how it applies to your life. There is a place where you can seek answers to the questions of life, particularly those questions of eternal consequence. There is a place where you are wanted. Let me step back for a minute. There is a place where you are wanted. And I mean, there is a place where you are wanted if you're an adulterer, or a thief, or some other kind of person. Friends, we still want you. God wants you. If God wants you, why shouldn't I want you? I want to be here where I can love on you and have that opportunity to input into your life so that you and I can spend together eternity together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You are wanted. Give us a half a chance. We'll love you. Here is a place where it is my prayer that those who don't know Christ will become followers of Jesus Christ. I'm a believer that we can do that in our home, around a kitchen table or over a meal at a restaurant. But also, many of you find it easier for you to bring them here. And we can together share the good news of Christ with them. There is a reason why people who do not yet know Christ should be coming to this congregation, to a church that believes Scripture and teaches it faithfully. So here is the resolution that I want you to make, not just for September, although I do want you to make it for September, but not just for September. Regular attendance when the body gathers is necessary for a healthy Christian. I want you to make a resolution to be one of those regular attenders. I don't want to tell you what the average is. We have some of you who, if you're not here, we know you're sick or you're out of town. Some of the rest of you are here. We're really glad to see you. But we're not surprised when you're not here. That's a problem. But we still love you. We still want you here. If you feel the church has flawed people in it, you're right. You're right. We can't let other people's mistakes keep us from a genuine relationship with God and all the blessings he has planned for us within the body of Christ. If you are a Christian and see something that you think needs to be improved, help us do it. That's one of the things that I appreciated about Pastor Gordon, was the second Sunday we were here, he preached a sermon that related to the mission of the church. And then he said, if you have a ministry that fits in that mission, come and see me. And the answer is yes. And so Beverly and I decided together, aha, this is a place we get to serve. This is where we'll come. That's how we got here. That's how we got here. If you are a Christian and you see something you think needs to be improved, help us do it. Don't just go home and gripe about it. Reminds me of the story of a family that was going home. And dad was complaining about the sermon. Just a terrible sermon. Mom was complaining about the choir. The oldest teenage daughter was complaining about the youth program. And the little boy, 8-year-old boy sitting in back, said, I didn't think it was a bad show for a nickel. If there's something about the church that bothers us, join with us to make it better. We are the body of Christ. We come because the parts come together every week. And many times other times. And pieces of the whole come together at various times. Come and be part of the body of Christ with us regularly. Invite people to come and be part of the body. It is our intent to love you and to love them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the church, that you decided that we needed to be together, and that you have given us this place to gather so that we can not only be the church here, but we can go out into our own personal lives and be the church there as well. I ask that you'll be with our leadership and give our leadership a clear understanding of what you want. And be with those who do not consider them leaders, and yet they are, who can encourage, who can support, who can suggest, who can work. Help us to discover our gifts and use them for each other and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.